the world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Type 2 diabetes is becoming an epidemic in this country, if it isn't already. We're seeing it in everyone from 9-year-olds on up. It's causing all kinds of health problems in the whole United States. My guest is Barbara Allen. She's a registered dietitian and author of the Diabetes Prevention and Management Cookbook. Welcome to the show, Barbara. Let's talk about type 2 diabetes, you know, high levels of glucose, insulin resistance, different than type 1, so the listeners should understand, you know, the beta cells in the pancreas are destroyed. They don't work in type 1, but in type 2, totally different. They're resistant to the actions of insulin. People in this country today, Barbara, are hearing that they are pre-diabetic. Please tell the listeners, what does that mean?
Okay. Pre-diabetes is a intermediate step between normal blood sugar levels, or blood glucose to be more exact, and diabetes. And pre-diabetes is diagnosed through a blood glucose test. As I say, it is an intermediate step and a really important diagnosis to have made, because people with pre-diabetes do not have to go on to get type 2 diabetes. They can use lifestyle and nutrition steps to turn back, in some cases, to normal glucose levels.
Okay, so lifestyle changes. The main sort of management and or prevention. You know, they say that exercise is medicine, Barbara, and we certainly know in the case of diabetes, it sure is. Speak about some of the lifestyle, diet, exercise, and interestingly enough, stress management tips that you would offer for people that are told they're pre-diabetic.
Absolutely. We have developed a 10-step plan in our book, of which exercise is a key component. But speaking of other lifestyle elements, we've got tips that help a person identify and consume and enjoy eating low glycemic index foods. We talk about what those are, how to find them, how to enjoy them, how to find a source of healthy fats, how to manage stress, getting enough sleep. We also touch on reducing sodium, because a lot of people that have pre-diabetes and diabetes have high blood pressure. We also talk about the value of understanding what sort of safe amount of carbohydrate to eat. There's been a lot of interest in lower carb diets and such in recent years. So we provide a carbohydrate balanced menu to give the right amount of carbohydrates and the right type.
So let's get into some of these, because people hear this, they want to know what the glycemic index is. What are, you know, because all carbohydrates, they increase blood sugar levels, but certainly certain ones, a glass of orange juice is going to cause a quicker rise in blood sugar than, say, a bowl of oatmeal. What are some of the low glycemic, you know, foods that people can eat that will keep those blood sugars at that nice, steady level throughout the day?
We like to recommend things like bread and buns that are made with heavy mixed grains. So if you pick up a slice of this bread, it would be a stone ground bread. You can see with your own eyes it's got some intact grains on it. It looks very hearty. We also recommend things like oat bran and large flake or steel cut oats. We have recipes in our book for barley, quinoa. We also use a lot of pasta, which we recommend you cook al dente so that the blood sugar rises more slowly. You have to chew it more. It takes longer to digest. Also, all the legumes, there are hundreds of different kinds of lentils and legumes, which can be made into dips and stews, and we have quite a few suggestions on how to incorporate them. Also, people are very happy to hear they can eat things like sweet potatoes, because they sound sweet, so you'd think that's not an optimal choice. But in fact, sweet potatoes and yams are really good for blood sugar control, as are nugget potatoes or new potatoes. And another nice surprise is, although brown rice is a really good choice for blood glucose, so is parboiled rice or converted rice.
Okay, now there is a bit of confusion around things like carrots and tomatoes. They're both so rich in nutrients, fiber. They're great for you, great to cook with everything. But sometimes they can range from low to high on that GI scale.
Yeah, you know, there are pluses and minuses to the GI scale, and depending on which one you're actually reading, you might get contradictory information. But really, when it comes to vegetables, I think that people want to enjoy all kinds. vegetables that like carrots and tomatoes, sometimes they may have more sugar, but those are not foods that you're likely to eat a big portion of. Compared to potatoes, it does make a difference to have the new ones, the sweet potatoes, rather than the russets, because that's going to be a bigger portion on your plate.
See, and I love that you say that, because people that are proponents of a very low-carb diet and they're afraid of these things, but you're not going to ever get fat and you're never going to get diabetes because you eat carrots and tomatoes.
Thank you.
These are not the things that are going to do that. And I've heard this from people, oh, I can't eat grains or I can't eat legumes. But, you know, if you eat those things, those are not the culprits, right? Those are not the things that are doing it to our country.
Exactly not. But, you know, we recognize people like sweets and desserts, so we actually have a chapter that provides all kinds of treats in reasonable portions, and they're nutritious treats too, like puddings and apple crisps and so on, that you can really have your treats and eat it too. And the carbs are controlled and portions are controlled, but all the taste is there.
Now, people, they look at breakfast. Breakfast is full of sugary cereals, yogurts with colors, dyes, and extra sugars, you know. So start with a breakfast. People also love smoothies, Barbara. So how are the smoothies ranking in a diabetes-type, you know, management diet?
They really work well. We have a section dedicated to smoothies, in fact, because we know people are into smoothies. We also know people like the convenience. So by using a portion of fruit and some kind of milk, either dairy or non-dairy milk, and a protein source, you can make a very balanced, ready-to-go meal, which can keep you going till lunch. We do call for smoothie in some of our menus. We have a 28-day menu, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus snacks to help people get the amount of calories they need. And, yeah, smoothies are one of our breakfast choices.
With yogurt, almond milk, maybe a fruit, or even chuck some kale, some spinach in there, something along those lines?
Yeah, we've got a lot of recipes and variations on smoothies. And then once a person's familiar with making them, they can just use their own imagination.
Okay, and eggs, where do they rank for us?
You know, we like eggs as a good source of protein, and we've used eggs in several places throughout the book. Despite the fact that they do contain cholesterol and saturated fat, eggs in moderation are not a problem. We like the protein in them. We're really big on protein because it helps people be full. And for those people who are trying to reduce their weight, keeping a certain amount of protein within their daily menu helps them be full and also helps them protect their muscle mass as their calories are getting less. A real drawback to losing weight is losing not only fat but also muscle mass, and we take steps in our book to help protect people against that.
Well, we do a show here for the American College of Sports Medicine at Radio MD, and of course, strength training is one of the ways. Exercise also for diabetes management, stress management. Cortisol levels can play havoc. We only have about a minute left, Barbara. Give us your best tips for stress management.
Okay, getting a good sleep, whatever sleep hygiene steps you need to take. This might mean, going to bed at the same time every day, getting up at the same time every day, learning to meditate, learning to take the to-do list out of your head, breathing, meditation, and really trying to compartmentalize all the stresses that we're under. Some people develop a worry list, and they can take a half an hour a day to really stress out about all those things and then put that aside and say, okay, I've done my worrying on that aspect, and now I'm not going to think about it anymore. Setting aside time for your health every day includes taking time to manage your stress.
Absolutely. Great advice. And tell people very quickly, Barbara, where they can find the Diabetes Prevention and Management Cookbook.
Well, this book is available at many, many bookstores. If it's not in your local bookstore, they will bring it in for you. You can also get it on Amazon.
Thank you so much. Type 2 diabetes, you can manage and prevent it. If you're told that you're pre-diabetic, look at your stress management, your diet, and your exercise. And that is certainly the way to stay well. The name of the show right here on Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.